Science and Technology.
Cybersecurity. Snooped Dog and Bone. A system at the heart of global telecommunications is woefully insecure.
For years, experts have warned that a technology at the centre of global communications is dangerously exposed. Now there is more evidence that it has been used to snoop on people in America. Kevin Briggs, an official at America's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, told the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, a regulator, earlier this year, that there had been numerous incidents of successful unauthorized attempts not only to steal location data and monitor voice and text messages in America, but also to deliver spyware, software that can take over a phone and influence voters from abroad via text messages. The comments were first reported by 404 Media, a technology news website. America's big mobile operators have erected better defences in recent years, but much of the world remains vulnerable. The hacks were related to an obscure protocol known as Signaling System 7, or SS7, as well as a newer one called Diameter. Developed in the 1970s to allow telecoms firms to exchange data to set up and manage calls, nowadays SS7 has more users than the internet. Security was not a big issue when SS7 was first introduced, because only a few fixed-line operators could get access to the system. That changed in the mobile age. SS7 became crucial for a wide range of tasks, including roaming. According to the US Department of Homeland Security, SS7 is a particular risk because there are tens of thousands of entry points worldwide, many of which are controlled by states that support terrorism or espionage. Security experts have known for more than 15 years that the protocol was vulnerable in several ways. In 2008, Tobias Engel, a security researcher, showed that SS7 could be used to identify a user's location. In 2014, German researchers went further, demonstrating that it could also be exploited to listen to calls or record and store voice and text data. Attackers could forward data to themselves or, if they were close to the phone, hoover it up and tell the system to give them the decryption key. Surveillance companies and spy agencies had known about the issue for a lot longer. Many were taking advantage of it. In April 2014, Russian hackers exploited SS7 to locate and spy on Ukrainian political figures. In 2017, a German telecoms firm acknowledged that attackers had stolen money from customers by intercepting SMS authentication codes sent from banks. In 2018, an Israeli surveillance company used a mobile operator in the Channel Islands, a British territory, to get access to SS7 and thus users around the world. That route is thought to have been used to track an Emirati princess who was abducted and returned to the United Arab Emirates in 2018. And in 2022, Cahill McDade of Enea, a Swedish telecoms and cybersecurity company, assessed that Russian hackers had long been tracking and eavesdropping on Russian dissidents based abroad by the same means. Beginning in 2014, Chinese hackers stole huge amounts of data from the Office of Personnel Management, the government agency that manages America's Federal Civil Service. The most sensitive data were security clearance records, which contain highly personal details. But phone numbers were also stolen. According to semi-redacted slides published by the US Department of Homeland Security, American officials noticed SS7 anomalous traffic that summer, which they believed was related to the breach. Mr. Briggs's comments to the FCC bring the scope of the SS7 problem into sharper focus. Overall, he said, the incidents he reported were just the tip of the proverbial iceberg of SS7 and diameter-based location and monitoring exploits that have been used successfully. American mobile operators are sensibly stripping out SS7 from their networks, but to varying degrees, all still have roaming connections with the rest of the world, where the protocol remains ubiquitous. Moreover, although the newer diameter protocol is an improvement in several respects, it nonetheless has many of the same vulnerabilities as SS7, argues Mr. McDade, and is worse in some ways. One reason that telecoms firms have neglected to address the issue is that most attackers have political rather than commercial motives. Surveillance tends to be focused on a very small number of high-value targets. The attackers generally don't aim to damage the workings of the mobile network, notes Mr. McDade. Because the impact is on the individual rather than the company, he says, sometimes the incentives to put in protection are not fully aligned. Mobile operators need to monitor their networks, update software, and conduct regular penetration tests, drills in which they subject their own networks to simulated attack, he says. Phone users can protect themselves against SS7-based eavesdropping, but not location tracking, by using end-to-end encrypted apps such as WhatsApp, Signal, or iMessage. But these too can be circumvented by spyware that takes over a device, recording keystrokes and the screen. In April, Apple warned users in 92 countries that they had been targeted by a mercenary spyware attack. On May 1st, Amnesty International published a report showing how a murky ecosystem of surveillance suppliers, brokers, and resellers from Israel, Greece, Singapore, and Malaysia had put powerful spyware into the hands of several state agencies in Indonesia. That, too, is the tip of an iceberg.